Well, this morning as we start this time of year, we are going to be looking at this message of hope. We're going to be looking at the person of Joseph. Now, as we come to this season, I'm sure that we've all heard many messages during this time of year. We've heard it all, and sometimes we can shut down and we can say, okay, I know that story, I've heard that story, I believe that story. And sometimes we miss the truth and all that is involved in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ as we come to this Christmas time. And so as we think of that, I pray that our minds and our hearts aren't not calloused, but kind of, oh, I've heard it all before. Why do I need to hear it again? But I think this morning and as we go through these next 4 weeks, that God will speak to us, that God will challenge us, and that we might be renewed and reminded of the great hope that we have, the great love that was demonstrated, the great joy that we find in the person of Jesus Christ. J.I. Packer said this, "The Christmas message is that there is hope for a ruined humanity, hope of pardon, hope of peace with God, hope of glory, because at the Father's will, Jesus became poor and was born in a stable so that 30 years later, he might hang on a cross." And so as we think of this Christmas season, as we think of this Advent season, we are reminded that Christ came for a specific purpose. Christ came to redeem mankind. Christ came because we were in need of a Savior, and he became that one who is our Savior. So this morning, what I'd like us to do is look at the person of Joseph. We're reminded of Mary, we're reminded of baby Jesus and the Magi and the shepherds, and sometimes I think Joseph kind of gets pushed into the background a little bit. But as I was studying and as I was looking at the life of Joseph, there's three things that I just want to draw our attention to this morning. First of all is Joseph's character. The second thing is the world's customs, and then the divine conclusion. Those are the three things that we're going to look at this morning. And so first we're going to start off with Joseph's character. If we turn to Matthew chapter 1, we again are familiar with this passage of Scripture. But let me read it for us this morning. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means God with us. And when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I pray that you might speak to us through the life of Joseph this morning. Thank you for your gift of salvation through Christ. It's in his great name we pray. Amen. Now we know Mary was that woman who was chosen by God. She was highly favored. She was one that Gabriel came and spoke to and said, "You are going to bear a son. You are going to conceive." And she, as you remember the account, but how am I going to bear a son since I haven't known a man? And we read of this miraculous union that happens, and Jesus is born, and Mary conceives of the Holy Spirit, and she is now pregnant. As we look at Joseph's character, I am amazed at Joseph at this point. First of all, that he was chosen by God. Here is Mary, who is betrothed to this man. And God chose not only Mary, but I think he chose Joseph also. Because Joseph was going to raise this boy. Joseph was going to be a part of his life. Jesus was going to grow up in his home. He was going to teach him some skills as a carpenter. He was going to be inputting into his life those spiritual truths. Now, I know that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the one who is the Word, who became flesh and dwelt among us. But there is some influence that I'm sure Joseph had on Jesus' life. And so God was pleased to allow Jesus to be born to a virgin, a young woman, to a man who had some godly character. We read here that Joseph is the husband of Mary, and he's a descendant of David. And we read further that he was a carpenter. He was a tradesman. And he was a righteous man. He was a holy man. He was a man who feared God. It says that he was just. And as I was thinking about that, what does it mean to be a just man? Well, if you look up the word for just, it's morally right and fair, appropriate, or deserved, well-founded, righteous. Being in accordance with God's compelling standards. So here is a man who was known in the community. He was a businessman. He was a man who dealt with people all the time, and he is known as a just man. He was a follower of God. Can you imagine what he was thinking that day? Here his betrothed wife. This idea of betrothal or engagement was a legally binding contract that Joseph had made with Mary's parents. He had come to this point in his life. He was engaged to be married, and it's usually for a year or more before the wedding, obviously to make sure that the young lady wasn't pregnant, that the young lady was indeed a virgin. And so this betrothal period was just as legally binding as marriage was. And so here is Joseph, and Mary comes to Joseph. And I can't imagine what that discussion was like. Joseph, I need to tell you something. I need to share with you a bit of information that you might want to know about. An angel of the Lord came to me and said I was going to be pregnant. I've never known a man, but I am going to be pregnant. And I'm going to have a baby. And that baby is going to be called Emmanuel, or God with us. Joseph, I hope you understand this. Now, I'm sure Joseph in his life had always thought about that day when he was going to be married. He's built his business. Things are going well. The business is called Joseph's Carpentry, and he can't wait to hang that shingle over his business and say, Joseph and Sons. You know, and he's built up his business, and things are going well, and he finally is engaged to this young lady, probably an arranged marriage, but here he is, older than Mary. And he's been waiting for this day, and now his dreams are dashed. You're pregnant. I've heard a lot of stories before, but this one really, really goes over the top. I mean, you can spiritualize this any way you want, Mary, but this just doesn't make sense. And so, we see Joseph in a dilemma. His character is coming through. He's a just man. He's a fair man. He is an individual who has a heart for God. We see as Jesus grows up, He takes Jesus to the temple, as was his custom every year. They would go to the temple during the feast, and we see Jesus when he's 8 years old and when he's 12 years old at the temple and worshiping as his dad took him there. So what do we read about Joseph's character? Well, he was a just man, and he was unwilling to put her to shame. He was unwilling to put her to shame. And what do you do? What do you do at this point? What are people going to think of me? What are people going to think of what is happening here? But Joseph was a just man, and he was a fair man, and he's pondering all these things in his mind and in his heart. So we read a little bit about the world's customs at this point. As we continue on, he says, I'm going to put her away quietly. You see, the idea of divorce wasn't something that was very well looked upon at this point. And you could do things one of two ways. You could do it publicly, or you could do it quietly. And he didn't want to put Mary to disgrace. So the customs are this: formal, prenuptial, before witnesses, legally binding. That's what this betrothal was. It was a contract. The man had legal rights over Mary, even though she didn't live with him. It's only broken by divorce. The term of husband and wife are now being used even in this betrothal period. The girl did not have her own family to live with, and she wasn't living with a man, she was living with her own family, and sexual unfaithfulness during this time was considered adultery. And so there's this possible stoning. What does Joseph do? What does Joseph do? The custom would be that I would take her to the temple, and I would say, look, she is pregnant, and it's not me. So here she is, you do what you need to do with her. Now we know at this point in time, stoning wasn't an option, but public ridicule was. And Joseph had an opportunity to clear his name. I had nothing to do with this. I want you to know, because it would have affected him on so many different levels. So the idea to expose her publicly wasn't something that he wanted to do. So he was going to divorce her quietly. And the custom would be that this continues to retain his righteousness and yet saves Mary from public disgrace and possible death and ridicule. And since the law didn't require the deed to be made public, it made allowance for private divorce. So with one or two witnesses, he could put her away privately. That was his option. That's all he could think of. But there's this divine intervention in this story. There is this hope that is here that all of us need to be aware of. Because God steps in at this point. God steps in and he speaks to Joseph in particular. He says, Joseph, in a dream, sends his angel to speak. Is it Gabriel again? Gabriel came to speak to Mary. Is this Gabriel again? God's messenger coming to Joseph and saying, Joseph, son of David, I don't want you to fear about taking Mary to be your wife, for the story she told you is true. She has conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she's going to bear this son. And he's going to save his people from their sins. Joseph, do you understand what's happening here? Joseph, you know the scripture. You know the promise that was made back in Genesis chapter 3. Joseph, you remember just how this has worked out as far as human history is concerned up to this point in time. Joseph, what is happening here is a fulfillment of Scripture. The prophets spoke of this one who is going to come. And we're familiar with this passage in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. That was written in about 734 BC, 700 years before the birth of Christ. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. And so here is this divine conclusion. The angel of the Lord appears to him. God himself promised from the very beginning that he would send this Redeemer. He would send this one that would save people from their sins, that would stand in their stead. And here he is in the person of this baby being carried by a young woman who is a virgin. And so Joseph wakes up. And Joseph does exactly what the angel tells him to do. Joseph, that just man. Joseph, that righteous man. That man who had great character. Who was willing to put custom aside. Who was willing to take that young woman and say, "You are going to be my wife. And I'm going to care for you. And I'm going to care for this little one. And I am going to raise him because I recognize and I realize who this child is. Emmanuel, God with us." And this isn't the first time, and this isn't the last time, excuse me, that an angel appears to Joseph. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, we see that angel appearing again. The wise men have come. The wise men have talked to King Herod. And there is this point where Herod is going to kill the babies. And we're familiar with that story also. But the angel comes to Joseph and speaks to him. And he is obedient and he leaves. Joseph's character included obedience to God, which is this divine conclusion. All of this happened because it was prophesied in the future. What do we conclude from Joseph's life? What do we understand from this individual who had every right to put this woman away? It was the fact that Joseph feared God more than he feared man. He trusted God more than he trusted in man. He was willing to obey when everything in his being and everyone around him would say, "You need to put this woman away. Don't put yourself through this grief." And you could imagine the days that Joseph was facing ahead. It was going to be hard. It was going to be difficult at times. But here is the Son of God who is given. We see Joseph's obedience. When we come today, we are reminded that we need to be obedient to God's word and God's truth. Sometimes when it doesn't make sense, we need to walk with God. We need to trust him. We need to believe him, and we need to be obedient in times when things just don't make sense. But it is God's leading, God's direction in our lives. Why did Jesus come? He was obedient to his Father, wasn't he? He was obedient in the fact that you are going to be this one who is going to come. He left the glories of heaven to come to earth to save his people from their sins. And he became obedient unto death, even death on the cross, as it says in Philippians chapter 2. Jesus was obedient to his Father's will. And we need to recognize that obedience. Why? Because he came to bring hope and to redeem all of mankind. And so today we stand here and we worship God, and we come to this table this morning and we are reminded of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We're reminded of his broken body. We are reminded of his shed blood. We are reminded of the hope that we have because we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And it's interesting that today, as we think of this first week of Advent, we are looking at the beginning of Jesus' life, and we are looking at the end of his earthly life. But it wasn't the end of his life. It is the beginning of our hope in the person of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are all bound for hell apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ. And God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so from the very moment that Christ entered into the world, he came to redeem his people. That's what Joseph is told, for he will save his people from their sins. And we have the hope of God through Christ of spending eternity with him as we put our faith and trust in him. All of us are sinners. All of us fall far short of the glory of God. All of us are facing the wages of that sin, and that sin is death, physical death that comes because of the natural course of life, but spiritual death, eternal separation from God. If we don't know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, if we haven't submitted ourselves to him and yielded our lives to him. So this morning, Joseph, a man of character, who didn't give in to the customs of the world, was willing to look at the divine conclusion that was revealed to him in the person of Jesus Christ, this one that was going to be born of this woman that he loves. And he's going to care for him, and he's going to seek to nourish him and raise him. And he is God with us. We don't hear much about Joseph after this. We read about him taking Jesus to the temple, as we mentioned. But he seems to be that one who is in the background, isn't he? But what an influence he has. What an example he has set for all of us. Are we following our Savior? Are we listening to God? Are we obedient? Are we looking to Christ for our hope and our salvation? The message of Christmas is that there is hope for ruined humanity. Hope of pardon. Hope of peace with God. Hope of glory, because at the Father's will, Christ became poor and was born in a stable, so that 30 years later he might hang on a cross and provide salvation for each of us. We have hope. We have hope because of Christ's obedience. Joseph is an example of that obedience. So this morning, as we come to the table, as we come to this table of remembrance, we know that the elements of this table do not save us. The elements of this table do not provide extra grace for us. Jesus said when he instituted the Lord's table, or as he instituted this ordinance that we participate in every month, he says, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This cup is the blood of the new covenant that was shed for you. Drink this in remembrance of me. We know that the elements of this table are provided for us so that we might remember the great sacrifice that was made for our salvation. That salvation that brings hope to a needy world. It brings hope to a needy life. It brings hope to each and every one of us. So this morning, as we participate and partake of the elements of this table, we are reminded that apart from the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we are without hope. We are all sinners. We're all separated from God, as I already said. But God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were in that state of sinfulness, Christ died for us. So this morning, as we take the elements of this table, we need to be rejoicing in what Christ did for us. Thank God for his birth, but thank God for his death. Because God loved us so much that he provided salvation for a messed up, needy world. And as we look at the decorations, and as we give gifts, and as we hear the music, there's great joy in listening to that. Chris and I had the opportunity to go to Wartburg last night and hear their presentation, and what a blessing it was to hear the music and to be able to just focus and reflect on the coming of our Savior. So I pray that every day this month, as we hear the music, as we see the lights, as we get ready for those Christmas celebrations, that we might be reminded of the great gift that we have in the person of Jesus Christ and the hope that he brings. Joseph was a man who had a heart for God. He was willing to do whatever God told him to do. He did something that was out of the ordinary, because what was happening with Mary was out of the ordinary. And God tends to work in ways that are not ordinary. But God sent his Son so that we might have eternal life. And that's what we celebrate. And that's who we celebrate this Christmas season. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for Joseph. We thank you for just the glimpse that you give us, the small glimpse that you give us of his life. Father, we can't imagine what he went through those first few years after Jesus was born. But he walked with you. And he walked with his head held high as he walked into the temple every year for the feast. He loved you, Father, and he demonstrated obedience. We thank you for the obedience of your Son, and Father, I pray that we might walk in obedience with you. Father, thank you for this table this morning, and as we reflect on the elements of this table, we are reminded of the great price that was paid for our salvation and the hope that we have in the person of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.